Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone, particularly those who are visiting with us. It's great to have you with us. We have several visitors, have a lot of family from out of town. It's always good to get together, so welcome. For those who are visiting and it's your first time here, again, a special welcome to you. And just to let you know, encourage you to come back. Our regular preacher, Brian Hall, is out this week. And would encourage you to come back and hear him. You know, most of us in our lives at some point have lost someone who is very close to us. In some instances, people leave an inheritance. It was interesting to me when I looked, I read an article a while back that in the United States, there is about $50 billion worth of unclaimed inheritances. That people, for whatever reason, they're just not claimed. Either the person didn't know that someone had passed, they weren't able to find the individual, but it was never received. There was an inheritance that was intended, but it was never received. And I think about that, and there's $50 billion sitting out there, and you think about how all of us could probably, there's something, if you had an extra $100 or an extra something that you could use it on. And some people are really in some financial difficulties, right? Without question, there are family members who are due an inheritance or were left an inheritance, but they don't know about it, or they never were able to claim it, and they could really, really use it. You know, today is a day that many people are focused, particularly even more so than on other Sundays, focused on our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. And unlike on the earth and how it works, that when someone passes, an inheritance can be passed down, it is particularly because of the resurrection of our Savior, that we have an opportunity to have a spiritual inheritance. Those who obey him, those who commit to him, can have that inheritance through his death, his burial, but particularly his resurrection and his victory over the grave. I appreciate Neil reading Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. And it says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. For those who obey him, that we are his children. And if we are children, then we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. The question I have for you this morning is, have you claimed your inheritance? Have you claimed your inheritance? Or are you leaving it behind? You know, there are many, many things that we could talk about that God has left for us, that he has provided for us, and he's just waiting for us to come and claim it. But this morning, I'm just going to speak to a few. And the first one is forgiveness. Have you claimed your inheritance of forgiveness? We know just by our lives and by living our lives, but also Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We don't need the Bible to tell us that we can't live perfectly. Whether you're in the church, outside of the church, no matter what your faith, what denomination, what your belief, we know by living this life that you can't live it perfectly. It's hard to make all decisions the right decision. But in Hebrews 8, starting in verses 10 through 12, The Lord says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. God is a God of love. God is a God who wants to forgive his children. He has a heart of mercy. You know, some of us have done some things. Some things are harder to live with than others, the consequences. Some of us, we've made decisions that when we look back, we have great regret of our lack of judgment, whether it's something we said, whether it's something we didn't say, whether it was a portion of our lives that we wasted and we didn't use it productively, whether it was the mistreatment of someone. There's a lot of things when you live some life and you get some years behind you. There's a lot of opportunity to make the wrong call. And it can be a heavy burden. There are some people who will never forgive. There's some of us who have lost relationships, have lost friendships, because of maybe something that we did that was wrong. It was a bad judgment. And you can carry that with you. But God can revive us from that. While man may or may not have the capacity to forgive, God does. Colossians 2, verse 13, it says, "In you, being dead in your trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." What a gift it is to be forgiven. How great it is to have someone say, I forgive you. But whether we get that on this earth or not, what's most importantly, what God has left for us and offers to all through the death, the burial, the resurrection of his son is forgiveness from the past. And when we have that forgiveness, it sets us up for the second thing that we don't want to leave behind in our inheritance, which is peace. You know, we live in a world that's full of unrest, where people don't have peace, where there's anger, where people are anxious. We're told in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do what? Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There are so many people in this world who are seeking peace. You know, we look at nations, and there are nations who have been fighting for thousands of years, will likely never have peace. And while those wars are difficult, oftentimes the war in our own mind to have peace is even more difficult. To be at peace with yourself, not to be anxious. And when you wake up in the night, and you wake up over and over, and you can't sleep, you can't rest, because you're not at peace. But God provides that peace. He says, be anxious for nothing. Let me know. Reach out to me. Give me your issues. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts, will guard your minds. What a gift it is to be at peace. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't have peace and then something was resolved and you just felt the weight drop off of you? where you could breathe again, where you could take a deep breath and you could feel good. God offers that to all. That's part of his inheritance to his children if we don't leave it behind. If you look in Matthew 6 on the Sermon on the Mount, particularly in verses starting in verse 25, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you're going to put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day and his own trouble." God offers peace. There is no peace outside of the Lord. Problems are too big. Satan's too powerful. People are too imperfect. Relationships are too difficult. Health problems are too overwhelming. But God can offer peace. He will take care of us if we'll turn it over to him and allow him to lead our lives. Once you're in a place of peace, the next thing that God can offer you is grace. When your mind is settled, you can realize and understand the grace of our God. He's a very gracious God. When we surrender to him, we are able to receive that grace. You know, grace is often said, the definition is that it's unmerited favor. It's something that's given that we can't earn. It's a gift that is given at an amount that we don't deserve. You know, we've all made poor choices. We've all done things that we wish we hadn't done. And oftentimes, shame or disappointment comes along with those decisions. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 3, it's an interesting passage to me. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore we also," this is after the chapter of faith, of all of those who demonstrated great faith in Hebrews 11, it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Right? And when you think about that, think about the anxiousness, think about the shame that we might carry, think about all of the self-doubt that we might carry. He says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and that he has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." It was interesting to me that Jesus endured the cross, but he despised the shame that came along with it. All of the sin that he carried for us, all of the mocking, all of the names that he was called, because he was associated with sin. He wasn't sin. He was perfect. He was pure. But he despised the shame that came along with being associated with sin. We can carry that as well, and we need to be able to be in a place where we can receive God's grace as a replacement for those feelings of shame and inadequacy. In Romans 3:23, we talked about that all have sinned, but it says that we are being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God's grace, God's gift, his love is overwhelming. It's bigger than anything that we have that is negative in our life. And he gives it to those, James 4:6, who are humble. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to those who are humble. So one way to receive your inheritance of grace is to ensure that you have a humble spirit and you understand that where good things come from. Hebrews 4:15 and 16, it says that we don't have a high priest, and this high priest being Jesus, someone who advocates for us and someone who speaks to the Father on our behalf as the high priest did in the Old Testament. It says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Right? Jesus understands our weaknesses. Why? It says, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He understands what we go through. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It is a throne of mercy. God's throne is called the throne of mercy, a throne of grace, where good things are given abundantly to those who love him. And then finally, have you claimed your salvation? At the end of the day, Jesus came. He came to seek and save the lost. He came because he loves us. He came that we might have a path to be reunited with him and the Father. And how sad it would be to be left an inheritance and not to claim the inheritance of salvation. John 3:16 and 17, a passage that most know well. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's intent isn't to condemn, but to save. He longs for that relationship with each and every one of us. In Titus 2, verses 11 through 14, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. The world today has a big focus on Jesus and what he's done. And that verse talks about what he did in his sacrifice, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from anything that we've done in the past and purify us as a people. Salvation is there to be taken. We just have to be willing to accept it and to do what God has asked us to do. John 14 says, starting in verse 1, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Here he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive it to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This morning, I just want to encourage you to consider, where are you on your journey? There's only one way to the Father. There's only one way to get the inheritance that has been left for you, that has been so thoughtfully planned out through Jesus coming, through his life, his teachings, his death, his burial, his resurrection. It's all to reunite us with God. What a shame it would be, just as a shame for those who are really in financial need and they don't know of an inheritance that's waiting for them that could help ease their burden. What a shame it would be if there are any of us or those who have spiritual needs and we don't take advantage of the inheritance that God has left for us. This morning, I would encourage you to reflect on where you are, to reflect on your situation. Are you truly leveraging what God has given you? He loves you. He cares for each and every one of us. And if you haven't this morning, you can make that right. If you're a Christian, then you need encouragement. If you need prayers, you can come forward and let us know. You could share that afterwards. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and you want to be a Christian, you want to be a joint heir with Christ, you want to be a child of God so that you can take advantage of that inheritance, you can do so by coming forward, and we can study with you and talk with you about what that looks like so that you can be on the right path. If we can help you in any way, we'd encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.